So we good?
Yes, sir.
Judah, man.
Yo, yo.
A lot's changed since the last time I saw you. Brothers didn't make it to the church championship.
Man, but we got far.
Yeah. I lost all my hair, bro. So I should have booked with Mogul Cuts instead of cheating on my barber with a random.
Now you know, bro. Now you know.
But speaking of Mogul, you keep on expanding that joint, bro. So for the people who don't know, I'm joined by the CEO of Mogul Forever. Whether it be through the clothing brand, graphic design, mentorship, making music, cutting hair like I just talked about, run several different businesses, and through his social media pages, he inspires others to do the same. So Judah, welcome to your choice, bro. How you feeling?
I'm great. Blessed. Thank God. How you?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. So getting into it, I know on the Mogul website, you've definitely made it a goal to not just showcase like the stuff that's offered, but then also actually talk about the meaning behind the brand. The meaning for Mogul, you define it as conquering every industry and field, being the best at whatever you choose to do, standing out and winning. So where did that motivation to have success in a variety of different industries come from?
I really think it's just been instilled from my parents, you know, since I was a kid. Like, they've always prayed over me, like, whatever you lay your hands to do, you shall prosper. And, you know, just having that in my mind, like, just wanting to be rich and famous, you know, just wanting to provide a better life for myself and those around me. And I've always thought long term, like, I really want to provide a good life for my family. I want to create generational wealth. So that's where the inspiration from that came.
And what's like the first joint that you got into? Because I know you had a crazy amount of jobs. And then also we've been talking about YouTube off camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first, what do you mean? Like, would you say like the first money I ever made? Like,
The first joint that I guess could make money.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd say YouTube. So when I was about 13, when I was nine, I started making YouTube videos, but, you know, gaming and stuff like that. But when I was about 14, I made this one remix of a song, a Lil Pump song, about Fortnite. And that joint blew up, got a million views. I made $645. And I'm like, whoa, like off my laptop, just rapping about Fortnite and stuff like that. Really just made some money off the internet. And that let me know, like, anything's possible from the comfort of your technology. You just got to be creative.
Mm. And how long were you doing the YouTube before like it became a bit more inconsistent?
Yeah, so I was going hard with it really since 2013 or 2012 when I really started it when I was a kid, because, you know, it was the only thing I knew besides games. But I started to get into it for the money, and, you know, I started playing football and started doing graphics, and they demonetized my channel. So I said, you know what? We're just going to push that aside for now. And that was around 2018, 2019.
Okay, yeah, and you say you play football, and I know you got like a couple of D1 offers, you know what I'm saying? So talk about that, you know, in terms of, you know, starting to play and then like leading up to like getting those D1 offers. And obviously, you know, you're doing Mogul now, but
yes, sir.
Let the people know that you were nice on the field too.
Yes, sir, man. I was like that on the field, if I say so myself. You know, so I actually started out playing soccer, ninth grade, and then
Bill definitely stopped playing because he ain't nice like that no
more. Nah, sure. Bro, no, look, we played on the same team, you know what I'm saying? Basically. But yeah. So yeah, I stopped. I was playing, you know, I was fairly new to soccer, but, you know, I knew like whatever I put my mind to, I can get good at. So after the freshman year of soccer on our team, I'm sorry, but we lost like every game. So I was like, I don't like to lose. So I'm like, you know what? I also want to get a scholarship because, you know, the pressure starts coming in high school, your parents, you know, da da da. So I'm like, okay, what can I do that'll get me a scholarship? And then the other thing too was there were these hoodies that the football team had, and like it was called the swag gear.
Yeah.
The gear they had looked so tough. I was like, dang, I want one of them hoodies. And they had like their name embroidered on it. I was like, I want one of those. I'm going to join the football team just to get a hoodie. Bro, for real. And then as I started practicing, working out with the team, ninth grade summer, people were telling me I wasn't going to make it. All that is like, you're a JV kicker. How do you think you're going to, you're a JV soccer player. How are you going to get to varsity? There was varsity soccer players trying out for kicker. Private school kickers coming to try out. But I kept my head down, started grinding. I set a goal. I was consistent with working out, practicing. I recorded myself kicking field goals, and I went out, performed, outperformed everyone, and I made the starting spot on varsity in 10th grade and 11th grade. And, you know, I just did my job and started to get offers.
Mm. And then COVID came, and then that's kind of, like, messed up your flow a little bit.
Exactly. I didn't get a senior year, man. Like, I would have dog senior year. Like, I was going to be playing another position besides kicker, too. But, you know, it's all God's plan. Because that's how I really got heavy into doing more graphics.
Okay. Yeah, so talk about that. Like, so around the same time you, like, so during COVID, you started doing graphic design.
Yeah, so during COVID, you know, everyone's stuck in the house. I'm trying to make some money. So I'm like, okay, people are still committing for football. And I had started doing that in high school for my teammates. And that's how, like, word started to spread, because I did it for one teammate. Other teammates would tell each other, and then boom. So, yeah, I was just doing that on Twitter, Instagram, making the edits. And, you know, I was just getting it off.
So that would be the second hustle outside of YouTube, you would say?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I learned how to do graphics on my own by, like, making thumbnails and editing videos, stuff like that.
Mm. What'd you use? Because I know for me, I started, like, straight with, like, Canva, then I do Photoshop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people use Canva. I be using Canva nowadays, too, because I be on my phone.
But you don't think, like, Adobe better?
Oh, yeah. I use Photoshop for, you know, brand, most things, but now, since, you know, I'm always on my phone, like, I just try to be more productive on my phone. So Canva's good, like, when you need to edit a quick thumbnail, quick flyer, stuff like that.
Okay, got you.
But yeah, I'd say that was my second hustle. What'd you say was your first hustle?
But my first hustle, actually, running Instagram pages. Like, you know them theme pages that, like, do makeup or, like, sports? Like, yo, I would run, like, Bleacher Report type of pages. You know them quotes that, like, when they put a quote and everyone makes it into memes?
It's tough.
I was doing that before them. They were doing that, gang.
Man, so, YCAI.
So I did that for a minute. You know what I'm saying? I would run up those pages, and I got one page up to, like, 4K in a couple months. So what I did is I made a podcast with that page, and I would reach out to, like, professional, like, bloggers. And because the page looked good, they would actually be like, yo, let me do that. But then I started working at Chick-fil-A, and I couldn't balance both.
Nah, I feel it.
And I deleted them joints. And I know you worked a lot of jobs though too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause, like, bro, I was looking at your story. You got 2 cars before 18, bro.
Yeah.
Talk about those, like, other than the hustles, obviously, I'm not sure how much money was coming in, but then also, like, you know, the jobs that you were doing to, like, I guess, fund those.
Yeah, so the hustles, the graphics, like, I'm doing $15 edits, $25 edits. I'm still hustling, but I was undercharging because I was making great quality edits. Mm-hmm. But when it came to working jobs, me, like, I know, like, whatever you do, you're supposed to do it with all your might. That's in the Bible. So, like, if I'm at a job, I'm doing the most. Like, I'm doing everything. I'm going over the top, excelling. But my first job was JCPenney. So it was like a mile away from my house. So I used to walk or bike to it every day. And, you know, I'm like, I hate walking. I need to get a car. I was 16. I was like, I need to get a car. So I was just walking. And then I had a plan in my head. I'm going to walk to and from this job until I can get a car and drive to and from this job. Worked over, you know, COVID. I was able to get my first car, which is an 04 Honda Civic. That was cool. Bang. Next, I was working at IHOP as a server. At JCPenney, I was a cashier, you know, I was doing everything. But yeah, IHOP, I was a server, host, you know, doing whatever needed to be done. And then after that, I was at Target. And that was like my favorite job I ever had. Like, but really, it's between JCPenney and Target. But Target was great because I'm like, yo, like, I work at Target. Like, no one gets hired at Target. And I'm like, I'm at Target. And it was just a great, I love being there. I was happy to be making the money I was making there. I got my second car at Acura, and yeah, it was just good.
I think for young people listening, something that would be good for them to hear is, like, the discipline when it comes to, like, saving up money when you're working jobs that are, like, low key close to, like, minimum wage. Because right. I know for me, I got my first job working full time, but I bought an iPhone within the first 2 weeks.
Hey, that's what happens when you first get money.
Yeah, but, like, for you to be able to, like, buy a car, you know what I'm saying? What's the discipline that goes into that? Like, are you actually keeping track of your expenses, or you're just like, yo, you know, if I don't need it, I'm not going to buy it. I'm just going to stack up my budget so I can get that car.
Yeah, you're right. So I do a lot of shopping. Like, I'm always ordering stuff on Amazon.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that, like, when I had was doing edits, I would always use money and spend it all, get it stuff on Amazon. So I would do that even while I was getting jobs. I'm like, nah, I want a car. And I also like to flex cash. Like, it just feels good. Mm. So, like, as I was getting my money, I would go to the bank and pull out a bunch of cash and just stack it up, saving for the car. And because I like to flex cash and take pictures, like, I like to do that after work. I would just, like, pull out some cash. That's what would flick me up. And, you know, just saving that cash. I was able, I saved up for my first car cash. You know, I saved up only $1,100. Like, I got lucky with a nice deal on the car. It was an 04 Honda Civic Hybrid.
Okay.
So, like, it was great on gas. Like, it was like 25, fill up your tank for like a good 3 weeks.
What was the mileage?
It was like 127K.
That's not bad.
I'm saying, like.
And, like, accident history, or you don't know all that?
I don't know. But it was in Virginia. We came, picked it up. Cool, nice guy. Yeah, just got to get the title, all that stuff. And it was,
so you pushed it up for like what, like a year or so?
For like 9 months. Okay. But then like I used to like to race, so.
So that was the motivation to get the next joint?
No.
I mean, or like.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, that's just why I had to, because, yeah, I would race. Like, I was racing too much. And like, it was one day I came from like racing my friends. We were going to the mall. And then as I'm coming home, all of a sudden the car just stops. So I'm just like. It's just rolling. I'm like, bruh, no way. Well, I mean, I can't be too surprised. So, and then I just had to push it. We had to push it as far. And then, so yeah, nah, it gave out. The transmission blew out. So he sold it for like $500. Mm. And then, yeah, we got to grind it.
So, you know, I guess the next joint would be like mogul, like clothing wise, right?
I mean, yeah. And then cutting. Yeah, oh, yeah, no, yeah, I was cutting hair before that.
Okay. Yeah,
so, like, I started cutting hair for, like really cutting at college in Benedict.
Okay, got you. Yeah. And we were just literally talking about that off camera, how I said I need to learn how to cut my hair, but because I'll be going broke. Obviously, people be messing me up, too. You know what I'm saying? So, and you were telling me it was just trial and error for real.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Got you.
But nah, if you like being like you like me, like you always want to have a fresh cut, you definitely should learn how to cut your hair.
Mm. And then what's the practical steps to do that though?
Bro, you just bald, then cut it a little bit, cut it a little less, cut, like you just put the guard, it's, I don't know, you just bald, a little less hair, a little less hair, a little bit of a I don't know, you just got to spade it.
Bro. I'll do the exact same joint and I'll have a mohawk again, bro. And then the same thing for the taper in the back?
I mean, okay, I'll get like a hand mirror. Ooh, this game. You get a hand mirror. When I don't have a hammer, I'll use my phone. I'll turn the front, I use the front camera, and then I'll just start to, you know what I mean?
And then like, so how long was it before you actually started charging people? Like, you just like were practicing on yourself for a minute though?
Myself and my brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, and then when I got to Benedict, that was like, to like August, July 2021, this dude came into my dorm because I was class president. So, you know what I mean? A lot of people come to me with questions and stuff like that. Even though I'm from Maryland, I don't know about South Carolina, but people ask me like, yo, you know where any barbershops is around here? And I'm like, I mean, I got clippers because I got them to cut my own stuff. I'm like, I'll cut you for 15, even though I ain't never charged nobody to cut their hair before. I'm like, for 15? He's like, yeah, I bet. Like, I cut him. It was a mediocre cut, but I got him right. Like,
okay. Bet. Yeah. So then after that, now we on mogul clothing. Yeah. Okay. So for people who just don't know, I guess just explain, you know, mogul just in general, what you all offer in terms of that nature.
Yeah, 100%. All right. So mogul. Mogul Forever, it's the brand. It's all about being your own boss, conquering every industry. We got, you know what I mean, super stylish pieces, those who like to express themselves, really like to shine. It came about with me being in my dorm and thinking like I really want to make something that's going to outlive me. Mm-hmm. So I actually first was on the idea of generational, but then like, you know, I talked to some people, I talked to my brother, he's like, doesn't really roll off the tongue. I agreed. And so, you know, I really feel like God just gave me the name Mogul, and then boom, ran with it, and it just, everything just worked out. Like, I made a logo, it just worked out. And yeah, and for the design itself, the first design I ever made, it was actually a design that I had made for a client back in like 2020 when I used to do graphics for people. Yeah. And he didn't like it. And I liked it, but I was like, he's like, it's cool, bro. I don't really like it. I'm not going to use it. You can use it for yourself or something. And I was like, all right, bet. Cool. I use it for myself. I never knew like, like that it would have turned out like that.
Was it something that you always had thought about, like getting into like the fashion industry and things of that nature, or just like kind of like spur of the moment?
So it's actually funny because in like 10th grade, me and like this dude, he was a quarterback at Largo, his name's Jonathan. Me and him started a brand called Maryland Made, but we never really, did much with it. He was, he would get like some stuff made. I would make the designs. We started the Shopify, all this. It's crazy. Like I literally be forgetting that this happened, but like we had the website, all this. He was taking pictures, photo shoots and stuff with his friends, but like we never really got it off the ground. He was busy with football. He went to college. And I just went about, doing my own graphics and stuff like that. But yeah, that's that.
Okay. So starting a clothing brand, just giving people free game on like, how you went about it. And then obviously we'll probably get into, what you would have done differently. But so boom, you want to start this joint. What are like the first steps that you do like to actually make it happen?
Okay. So, first you just got to really like think like, what's it going to be about? Like what's really important to me? What do I represent? What do I stand for? And then, you'll think of your name. I say keep a journal, like write down your best ideas, like keep this joint handy, like write down your best ideas on a journal, because it's just something about writing. Like when you write, like what's on your mind, it's like you really put it into existence. Like your phone is cool and all, but like it's something about like literature, So that writing, my ideas, I'd say then, if you don't know how to design, then, get someone who can design and have them bring your design to life. Go on Alibaba.com, find you a vendor who can, make you a sample of what you want. Get that sample, get content in it, and then, gather support, and get your bulk order. You could do pre-order, have people, place orders for the sample as you're promoting it. Or you can, just build the hype, create an SMS list so that when you now do drop, you can send out text messages or emails to everyone who's now waiting for the product. And yeah, and you also, you want to make sure you have capital, you have money to fund it. If that means working a job, if that means, borrowing some money here and there, just as long as you can pay it back on time. Just do what you got to do to get it off the ground and work on it every day. Like if you just work on it every day, like there's no way you're going to, like, there's no one who works on their brand every single day doing the best they can and does not create some success with it. The only way you can not have success with your brand is if you're slacking, like straight up, you get what you put out. So yeah, just work hard.
And did you have any type of team starting out?
Well, all right. So I'm going to just say, like, I do all my designs. I talk to my vendors. I do everything all by myself from the beginning of time. But, here and there when let's say I need some help carrying boxes or, give me some feedback on this. I have plenty of friends who have always, helped me out. But when I was in college at first, like, I definitely had a solid, like, friend group that was, around me at the time, like people who are all trying to do something with themselves. Like I'd say Chris, Nas, Miles, Ethan, shout out y'all. My man Zubir, he bought the first Mogul Fulzip, like that I was selling, he bought the first one. And my man Sean, he was the first person to buy something in person. And my man Osei, he was the first person to pre-order the first Mogul hoodie. But yeah.
You did talk about like in terms of design, taking feedback. So how much of that played a role, like, in the beginning? And also, like, now, in terms of, do you, like, be talking to, like, yo, is this doing tough? Then they say, like, it's not, and you just keep on pushing, or, like, you actually be taking, like, people's opinions into consideration?
Yeah, I take people's opinions into considerations, but at the end of the day, I remember that I know best. And a lot of times, like, some people, even if they have good advice for me, sometimes I'll show them something, and they just don't quite get it yet. But, like, I'm like, nah, I know this is tough, so I'll drop it. That's the case that happened with these beanies I dropped with rhinestones on them.
Okay.
People were like, but when they now saw them in person, when I started taking pictures and doing all that, they're like, okay, yeah, these are tough. And yeah, so it's like, you got to take feedback sometimes, but like always still trust yourself. You know, you got to, yeah.
Have you had some joints where you actually like trusted yourself? People were telling you it ain't tough and it flopped?
Mm-hmm. That's happened.
Okay.
That actually happened with my Nigerian Independence Day drop. Like, okay. I thought I was going to do so well. I dropped it on Nigerian Independence Day. It was just the price point That's what it is. I think it was a good design, but, you know, the price point.
Okay, okay, got you. And in terms of, you know, putting money into, you know, your business, I mean, you have to have money to make money. Starting out, how much did you actually put in?
When I started out, I probably put in like, say like 700.
Got you.
Because I was working at IHOP. Even though I was cutting hair too, I was working overnight shifts at IHOP. So, yeah.
And then, so what does that 700 go into?
All right, so that's literally just straight hoodies, like straight getting the hoodies. I was getting sample. So I was going to a local screen printer in Carolina. Shout out Carolina Screen Printers, Chris, the GOAT. But yeah, I was going to a local screen printer in South Carolina. I would always be going there. It was like 15-minute drive. I was always going back and forth, talking to them about how I wanted, what I wanted, boom, boom, boom. And, you know, I would pay them. They would create samples. And, yeah, I took some pre-orders for the hoodies. Mind you, I'd never done it like that before. But,
yeah,
you know, I just did what I had to do. And, yeah, they produced it. Like, they made it in-house. I watched them. We went step by step with the process. And, yeah, it was like I spent all on the hoodies. Like, I didn't spend no money to run ads, nothing like that. I mean, I got... Okay, yeah, you're right. I got to get a shipping label printer, packaging. Label printer was probably like 65 at the time. Packaging, that'll probably ring like $20. That's all you really need to ship your orders. And then a pair of shoes. I had some like Rep Balenciagas I got for like 160.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, you know, promo the brand wearing them shoes just to make it look sweet, make it look high end.
And I think something that I guess helps for you is that having your hand in a lot of other things kind of takes out like certain costs. So like I'm even thinking like promotion, creating like, you know, graphics and things of that nature. Those aren't costs you have to like think
exactly,
about.
Exactly, because I'm doing all that myself. So I'd recommend for anyone to learn how to do that type of stuff yourself because it's not hard. It just takes some time.
And in terms of validation, I think for all of us, like whatever you're doing, validation does play a certain extent. Obviously, you just need to back yourself like you were saying. But is there a particular moment where it's like, yo, this literally got potential outside of like just believing in your vision?
Yeah, I mean, I have like very strong self-belief. I'll say I wasn't always that way. Like I used to doubt myself a lot. I still doubt myself sometimes here and there, but like I know like I can do it. Like I know I'm gonna be a millionaire, if not billionaire, off this clothing stuff. So I remember that and, you know, I just stay strong, like knowing that, okay, I need to trust myself and like find that inspiration and validation from within and from God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then what changed? You know what I'm saying? Like, to become that person.
Okay, so it was just like, okay, so I've always been like, you know, weird and stuff like that. Like, okay, I was always cool, you know, I'm cool, people like me, but like, I was always weird and people used to like tell me I'm weird and champ, all that stuff. Like, but like,
is it true though?
Yeah, it is. Okay. It used to get to me, but I'm like, bro, the people who are doing stuff that's considered champ, they're doing stuff that can actually get them outside the box.
That's
people who are staying trying to look cool, like you're keeping yourself confined within a box. So I'm like, bro, champ is a compliment. I was like, you know what I mean? Like, I gotta just do. I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this because I love it, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So like, as long as I'm happy with it, like, I'ma feel better. Like, you can't just live to please other people because they don't even care. Like, and everyone has their own life.
Yeah, fair. So you have a tough brand, you know, good product. How do you go about, you know, getting it in front of as many heads as possible?
Okay, so, I mean, I wear my brand every day. I have a strong personal brand. I've always been, you know, taking fit pictures. I make TikToks. When I first started out with these, you know, full zips, I made sure to send them to many influencers. And the one play I did too that really, you know what I mean, is probably the reason why, you know, I walk outside and people like notice me, because I used to do I still do, not as much though, but I did like TikToks like in my kitchen. So, and I would always keep doing the same TikToks. Like I had like a formula, like how you did the theme based pages.
Yeah.
Like I just had a formula. I would set it up in the kitchen, same spot, same everything, and just do whatever dance with the song, have a caption. Do whatever dance with the song, have a caption. Do whatever dance with the song, have a caption. Posting three times a day, boom, 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 getting content. And then as I'm making them, I'll like make hella drafts. So I'll have a bunch of content to last me. So yeah, it was just being consistent with my own content. I grew my page to 20, my TikTok page to 20K followers. I got like over 1 million likes on there. And then Instagram, making fit pictures, you know, doing graphics for people, cutting. yeah, it's just, you know, spreading myself is, you know, good business.
Gotcha. And how do you go about like reaching out to like influencers? Like what would be like a generic draft message that you're sending these people?
I'd be like, hey, I love your content. Could I get your PO box address so I can send you some merch for my brand? And, you know, and then we wait.
Nah, got you. Okay, I bet. So in terms of, you know, staying on the topic of influencers, what has been, like, I guess, like the coolest type of collabs? And I guess also like dream collabs too.
That's a good one. Dream collab, YoungBoy. That was always a dream collab. Mm. Like since like 2021, I actually designed some stuff, like some Mogul Never Broke Again. But yeah, but my favorite collabs that I've done, I mean, I'd have to say the Shoe Baby with Zanman, because, you know what I mean, we ran it up. Yeah, I love that. You know, a lot of people love that. Like, that collab brought a lot of eyes, a lot of attention to the brand. Zanman is an artist that I, you know, grew up listening to. So, like, that was, like, a real full circle moment to be able to literally drop a whole collaboration with him. Like, I'm V-Lone or something. So.
Yeah,
that was pretty tough. And then Cash Dami, I love that. Like, another rapper who I listen to a lot. Yeah. And then influencer, like, favorite influencer that I've gotten has got to be Brooklyn King. Who is Brooklyn? Like, she definitely turned me up. She has a real, like, loyal fan, supporter group.
Fan base, yeah.
Yeah, fan base. Yeah. That's the word. And, yeah, like, her and a whole bunch of other influencers, like, they really helped me to get out there.
And dropping out of school, I know you said you went to Benedict, but you decided to drop out. And I think we've talked about beforehand, it was more so to, you know, like lock in for real on the business. How tough was that, like, decision to make?
Okay, so it was really a tough decision, but wait, no, not really. Because, like, yeah, it was, like, I thought about it a lot, but, like, my mind was really set, like, nah, I'm out of here. Mm. Because it's really a crazy decision, because I was on a full ride scholarship. That means everything paid. That means free food. That means, you know what I mean, you got it good. It was easy to, you know what I mean, like, no stress to the parents, none of that. So, yeah, it was a great opportunity. So me dropping out was, like, a really, like, controversial thing in my family and all that. But, you know, I'm thankful that I was able to show that, hey, I knew what I was doing. But, yeah, so I still, you know, think within myself, like, maybe I shouldn't have. But my reasoning at the time is why I did, because I had to drive 8 hours to and from South Carolina because I need a car to operate how I operate. So I had to drive out 8 hours to and from South Carolina. That wasn't too efficient. I really just wanted to go all in with my brand. Like, I wanted to be able to go 100% in building this, because I know, like, as a human being with, like, an unlimited potential that we have, like, if you put your whole entire being into something and you really put your all into it, like, you're gonna get something great out. Like, anyone can just create something amazing if they put their whole life force into it. Cause, like we have life force. Like, our hands are so powerful. Like, we can create things. Like, We're made in the image of God. So we can really create stuff.
Is there something that, like, you saw, like, statistically that made you drop out, or just, like, sheer belief?
Funny, yeah. It was literally seeing $7,000 in sales.
Mm.
Mind you, my scholarship is, like, $13,000 every semester or something like that. So, like, that's, yeah, but.
What time period is that in?
The.
$7,000,
yeah. Yeah, that was in, like, a couple months.
Okay,
wow. That was in, like, 3-4 months.
Okay.
No. That was in, like, two. Yeah, that was in, like, 2 months. Because in the third month of my brand, I did a scholarship of $500.
And what's the profit on that $7,000?
Probably, like, a smooth three. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Probably, like, a smooth three. That's so funny because, like, I just saw $7,000 and I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm making the money. Like, I'm out of here. Like, if I, my mindset though, like, I remember because I had a private Finsta, right? And I posted, like, this, like, I'm dropping out, da da da. Like, if I can make $7,000, that means I can make $30,000. So if I can make that means I can make whatever. And so, like, that was my reasoning. And it made sense. And I'm glad I thought that way. And yeah, so even though it wasn't probably, like, I wasn't the best at managing my money back then, but. Yeah.
So are there things that you could have done to, like, make that profit higher? Don't get me wrong, 3K is still smooth, but you know what I'm saying? But, like, what are some things, I guess, that you're doing now that you could have been doing back then?
Negotiating. So negotiating is very important in business. Like, the first price is, never the best price usually. But yeah, like I could have definitely got the cost down for, you know, production. I was overpaying way too much. Because nowadays I make sure that my profit margin is at least triple. Like at least triple. So that way I have like, you know, margin, you know, I have leeway, wiggle room. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was literally like I was getting the hoodies made for like 26, and then I'm getting the print done for like $8. I was getting the hoodie made for like over $30 and then selling them for like $49.99. Like,
oh yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
Yeah, bro. Shoot. Yeah, you live and learn. Like, that's why it's trial and error. So it's like, now I can tell people, like, look, if you're getting a hoodie made in 2024, you should be paying anywhere from 18 to 25 for a hoodie.
Mm. And you talk about stress, like less stress for your family, obviously being on the full guy. So getting a little bit that conversation regarding like, yo, I'm gonna drop it now, like orderly actions and all that.
Okay, so first it was a way bigger problem. Like it was like everyone was just trying to convince me, like, no, don't. Like, when you're going back to the die. But then when I now started to really, like, show that results, I can make something happen, right? Results. Because, you know, they need to see results. Like, your parents just want what's best for you. So if you can really show them, like, you know what you're doing. It's not that they're just mad at you and they don't trust you, da-da-da. No, it's just they want the best for you. So, yeah. It was when I, you know, started to make them 10K months. And I would have packages flooding the house. And, you know what I mean? Like, there's packages all over everywhere and they see like it's really something going on. Mm-hmm. And like family is talking about it, the church is talking about it, everyone's talking about mogul. And you know, that's when like, you know, they'd be like, okay, like he got something going. Like it's funny because I told my dad the other day, like I'm thinking about going back to school. He's like, are you sure you'd be able to do that and still focus on mogul?
Wow. Like, yeah.
That's crazy. My dad has his master's.
Yeah.
That's like, whoa. But yeah, I told my mom. She's like, oh, yes, go back. Then think about my mom is like, bro, my mom, like, I know she'd be ready to, like, go ahead and take out a whole loan and all that, but I'm not trying to do it. Like, I just want to help my parents. Like, I don't want to be any burden to them. So, yeah.
Now, that's a good point because I think all of us, like, growing up with African parents, we really be thinking that they're against us. But it's more so, like, no matter what you do, if it comes with success, they're going to be chill. You know what I'm saying? I think an example that I brought up on like a past podcast was like, let's say I want to be a YouTuber. You know, one of my mans was telling me, don't tell your parents about it. Just like do it. And then like, if you tell them about it and you, let's say you have like 5K next to your name, like it seems a bit more like, you know what I'm saying? Compared to like, you just say you want to do it. And then it's like,
yeah,
they don't see anything.
Yeah. How do your parents feel about your podcast?
They don't know.
Oh,
they don't know. But like it's not on some secretive joint, but it's literally that exact mindset. Like I want it to be a type of a joint where it's like
you just showed them.
I just showed them and then they see like, okay, numbers next to it. Because like in terms of the quality, I'll back myself and say like the clips look tough, the conversations are tough, I got tough guests, you know what I'm saying? But then it's like, okay, what money are you making? Ah, William, you're not making any money. What type of nonsense is they doing? So like, bro, I just be working on it, and you know, God willing, when it gets to a certain point, you know, even like we could say YouTube, for example, I feel like even like 500 subscribers may not be money attached, but that's smooth. Especially, yeah, you know, African fans, they say, hey, 500 people want to watch my son. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a big believer in like, you know, like your actions kind of like speak for like why you want to do something.
Yeah, 100%.
But you talked about, you know, cutting costs in terms of like, you know, you had you buying hoodies for 30, selling them for like 50, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something I wanted to get into, I just want your perspective on this. The difference or like the rivalry between quality and just like style. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like we're moving into a generation where it's like that joint don't need to be comfortable. If it looks tough and everyone like is wearing it, it'll go. So like for you, how important is like the style versus like the actual quality of the piece?
Okay, so that's a great question, bro, I would say. But like, so the style is cool. It's definitely important. That's definitely what's gonna get people to buy. Mm-hmm. But the quality is what's gonna get them to return. So like my hoodies, I make sure like they're thick. So like I know people, I'm not the only one who wears their Mogul hoodie every day. People wear their Mogul hoodie every day because it's comfortable. And if it was just a good looking thing, but it wasn't comfortable, they'd wear something that was mid just because it's more comfortable. Because that's what really matters at the end of the day. Mm. People want to have, you know, clothes on their back that are actually effective. So yeah, I make sure my clothes are effective. And it's funny you say that because like when it came to cutting costs, like when I first like realized that I was paying way too much. I was just a cheapskate. I became an extreme cheapskate. I'm like, I'm not paying nothing. Like I made sure that that's when I really started to get into that triple profit mindset. Like I was making sure to get my t-shirts for $2 from buckleapparel.com and jiffyshirts.com and, you know, getting them printed and then negotiating with my printers. Like, yo, could you do this? Like, could you do this much? You know what I mean? Like just making sure I get my, and that's, you know, that's how I learned a lot about, you know, negotiating and, you know, yeah, expenses.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of like, I guess, understanding if something is quality or not, is that just really like trial and error? Like you order something, you get it, it's smooth, it's not smooth, then you just do it again?
Yeah, literally. I've gotten some bad like hoodies. Like I've gotten some bad samples that were like they were just, the quality just wasn't there. Like it'll even look good too, but in like I just, in my mind I know I can't sell that because it's gonna be like, what's this? Like if it's Mogul, like I want it to be Mogul. Like I really want to become a high end brand. Mm-hmm. So I know I need to have quality pieces, and like that's what I pride myself in. Like I even got some bags that were, you know, kind of defective. Like they were like, if you put too much in, like they'd snap, and it could happen a couple of times. I'm like, dang. And I already struggled to get those bags in because they were trying to charge me crazy import fees. But you know, I'm like, okay, I had to brainstorm, think, got some zip ties, reinforced the handles. So boom, problem solved.
So the long-term goal would definitely be having more control over like that process of things as well. Like in the sense of like, you know, it's not all the way across the seas where you're getting things from, right?
Yeah, that would be like great. Like I want to get like, you know, Los Angeles manufacturer, New York manufacturer. That'd be sweet.
Okay, got you. And like that doesn't, to get to that point, it's just more so like, you know, having the capital for real.
Yeah, and a network, you know, finding the right people. Because I don't know, I wouldn't know how to go about finding someone around here that would give me the same price as China or Pakistan.
In terms of, you know, networking, I think that's very important. Like anything, I guess, when you're trying to grow a type of brand. So what are just like practical steps that you would give even to yourself, like how to get to that point?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Go to every pop-up shop there is. Follow the party promoters. Go to college campuses. Get there. You know, spread the word about your brand. Hang up some posters. Like just, you got to hustle. Like just be there in person and then follow trends online. The thing is, right, in person can only go so far. In person, you hustle, hustle, hustle. You could probably, you know what I mean, go ahead and get you a run up a cool 200 followers. But like if you really like lock in online and you like make a solid game plan online and you, you know, follow the trends, you know, create viral content, like look at content that's gone viral, do that in your own regard. And, you know, really just take off, like take every opportunity, like be a vulture, look for every opportunity and seize it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
And you talked about, you know, content on social media. Another thing that we were talking about like before this was, you know, attaching your brand, personal brand to like what you're actually doing. So like, how important is that for you? Like, well, for me, I can't lie. Well, for your choice, a lot of it was like, yo, I put this out. It's an entity. It's not really like your choice as well. But like, I feel like with Judah, it's like Judah is Mogul. You know what I'm saying? And is that a conscious thing that like you go about doing, or is more of a thing where it's just like, it's kind of just like been like that?
Yeah. Like I feel like it just came about. Like I was always like the face of my brand. Like I always wanted to, you know, do it like that. Like paint myself in the best light. Cause you know, it's conquer every industry. I really did that because of myself. Like, I feel like that's an embodiment of what I live by. Like I cut hair, I do edits, I do YouTube, I make music. You know what I mean? Like conquer every industry, like doing everything you're capable of. So yeah, I definitely, you know, wanted to be an exemplary of the, well, be an example for the brand. And, you know, that just caught on. Like, you know, I got the name Mr. Mogul. Like I never called myself that, but you know, people call me that and I'm like, it caught on. And yeah, it's a good thing. And then I started to, you know, make collaboration posts of myself and the brand, you know, as recently. And I would always model my brand. Like, I didn't even need models to start. Like, I just used myself, because I understand that anywhere you go, like, you can make good content. Like, if you're walking down the street in your brand, record that. Like, one of my first, like, videos to get a bunch of views, like over 10,000, was literally just me in the Wharf, D.C. Go there. Great scenes over there. Just walk in. And then I had my brother just record me. Mind you, he had his camera and all that. But I'm like, mind you, you know what's crazy? We had his camera and all that, taking all these clips.
Yeah.
I never saw not one of those camera clips because he never sent them. But I was like, okay, just take my phone and record me walking real quick. I just walk, you know what I mean? Like, adjusting it. And then I got some Central C playing in the background. I'm like, been for random funder, been for random funder. And then boom, like, just posted that. And I just, you know, I swagged it. So, like, you know, I created something that people would see and be like, oh, yeah, I want to look like that. So, yeah, that video had success. It was even a low-quality video, too. But, you know, just showing the lifestyle, showing the wear in real life, making it relatable is what helps with content.
Staying on that topic of attaching yourself to your brand, we're talking about, shout out Jeff. He's been on the podcast as well. He's been able to get to the point where mentally he's just, you know, posting whatever, showing his face. And we're talking about how I was like, I know Judah has that in his bag, but he'll be doing it on TikTok. So, like, get into, like, the mental battle of, like, you know, trying to, like, kind of, like, maintain that type of aura versus just, like, yo, just put things out. Because I have the same exact problem, too. Like, I just be like, yo, they're your choice edits, but, like, nobody really knows too much about me. But that could be, like, the difference between, like, the brand blowing up and not.
That's so real. Like, that could be the difference between it blowing up and not. Yeah, I just gotta put all pride aside, put all ego aside. Cause, like, think about Instagram, you think it's so serious. Like, with me, like, I be thinking it's so serious. Like, I want the post there to be the post there. Like, but it's like, when you're not that big yet, like, you just, it's all about the volume. So, like, I have a Finsta, right? And I'll post on there whenever, and the people love it. And that page even be kind of growing. But, you know, if I'm just really hit that same energy on my main page and like I do on my TikTok, my main page could definitely grow as much as my TikTok. So that's really, like, really good food for thought. Like, you just got to screw what people might think, screw your aesthetic of your page and all that, and just go for growth.
Oh, that's cool. And what other things have you not touched in terms of what you into? Oh, music too. Yeah. So let's talk about that too.
Hey man, I got an album dropping soon.
We got a date?
Not yet.
How many songs?
We'll probably do like 13, 14.
And all of them joints finished?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
I got some, I'm gonna have some features, and there's some I just need to finish.
Okay. So then, yeah, so like your love for music, where'd that stem from? You know, what are your goals of that?
Okay, so I always liked music since I was a kid. Like, when I was younger, I used to, like, make songs. Like, I literally made a song about my birthday. I used to be like, if you want to know, it's June 19. The energy is stupid. But I used to always make songs. So, like, I used to make gospel songs, too. Like, I don't remember how any of those went, but my mom told me I used to.
So you remember the worldly songs, but you don't remember the gospel songs.
God forgive me. But, yeah, man. Like, yeah. I just always like to sing. Like, I like to sing. Like, I see pictures of myself. Like, I was in a church choir. I'm the one holding the mic, like, ah. And, like, everyone's in the room. I'm like, oh, that's tough. And, you know, when I got a little older, like, you know, 10, 11, 12, I started to make African remixes of songs, you know, just because, like, I had seen it done. And I was like, I could do that. Like, I could talk about fufu and jollof in it, you know what I mean? I just started doing that. And then, as I did that, it started to gain traction, and I started to go by an alias, Falufale, which is funny, like, how that came about. My friend David Korea, shout out David, he's Kenyan, right? He came to my middle school, CMIT South, in seventh grade. We used to, like, fake joan on each other, talking about, you're so African, you probably hang with monkeys, like, you're so African. And then he was like, you're so African, your middle name is probably Falufale. And I was like, yo, that got a nice ring to it. And then I went by Falufale. I started going with Falufale. We had this art project in to make like a digital character. I made that. I used it as a profile picture. I started to always post content like the Africa remixes, Fortnite remixes, meme remixes, whatever would blow. Like, I would remix a meme version of the most popular song. And that's something I'm about to get right back into. That's something I stopped doing because I'm probably, I would look back at it sometimes. I'm like, yo, this is cringe. Private the video. But like nowadays, I'm like, yo, who cares? Like, yeah, it's getting money. Like, that's all that matters. So, well, not all that matters, but you know, it matters a bit. But you know, that's what I want to do. Like, and it's fun. Like, it's so easy to just make a song on some like just trolling. Like, making a real song is like, okay, you want to say the right thing. But making a troll song, it just comes so easy to me. Like, I just made an African remix of a Nino Paid song, and it got some traction. I'm like, wow, like that's really what I could do.
So you want to do both in terms of like, you know, making music that's like quote unquote serious, and then also make like the ones for fun.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting. Like, that's my plan for right now.
Got you. And a big question that I have for you in terms of, you know, we started off this podcast talking about, oh, what does mogul mean? And it's like, you know, having your hand in a bunch of different things and mastering them, right? But I was actually listening to, I think it was the CEO of Gymshark. You know what Gymshark is?
Yeah, I know the video too.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast about that. And like, he was talking about how like, one thing that he had to do to like have success is actually kind of let go of like being involved with everything and focus on his strengths. So for you, I guess, would you agree with me first? Mogul, the clothing button, is like the main joint, which like you want to scale up, right?
100%.
Yeah. So do you believe that in order for that to happen, like, you know, have optimal growth, you got to like let go of some things, even within the clothing brand, and like delegate, and then also like in just in terms of like doing other stuff?
So not exactly. I used to, right? And that was my crutch, like that was my excuse. But you see, there's lots of, you know, rappers like what Lil Nar, Can Can, that have brands and they still are doing good with music. I mean, one thing about that is if you want to get a lot of stuff done, I feel like you can, you know, you could delegate. I was just watching a video on School of Hard Knocks. This guy's like, our company just did 300 million. If I was still doing it by myself, we'd probably done maybe three. Yeah. And I'm like, wow. Like, so yeah, I really do plan to get a team and get, you know, cause I really want to pass it down to my family. So I want to get, you know, a team of people running Mogul. You know, I want to stay as the head of design. And, you know, I really just want to be able to be a bit hands off and create it so systematic to the point where it can be passed down and, yeah, you know, create some nepotism. But, yeah, music is the thing. Mogul is the most lucrative, profitable thing right now, but music is the thing I really love. Like, I like to listen to songs. I like to play my music and everyone's dancing. Like, yeah. I like to listen to my own music. Like, when I listen to my songs, especially Focus, like, I be locked in and it makes me, it provokes good thought. Like I like to make the games. I like to play. Like, I'm in my own lane. Like, it just makes me think the right things. So that's what I really love. Like, music is powerful. Mm-hmm. Like, and there's so much like rubbish music out here. Like, yeah, some of my music might have some rubbish, but you know, try and get better.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But yeah, like I definitely do want to dumb down. Like right now, me doing so many things, that's just cause, you know, I'm hustling. Like, I need the money. Like, I'm still cutting hair. I'm doing everything I gotta do right now to, you know, build and plant the seeds. But later on, I do plan to simplify things because I think that's definitely good. Because, you know, when you have too many hands in one basket, and what's the thing again?
You got several hands in different baskets. Yeah. Too many eggs in.
Yeah.
Something about eggs in basket. Something like that.
They say don't put all your eggs in one basket, but yeah, an extent, you actually do want to do that. But you also do want to diversify. That's also in the Bible. But,
yeah, for sure.
You know, you also want to, like, you know, you want to focus on one thing. Like, you want to, it's better to master something than be mediocre at a bunch of things, basically.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you want to diversify. You know, I want to get into investing. Like, I'm trying to remember what that Bible verse is. It's like, spread your seeds in many places because you never know, like, what the weather is. Forgive me for misquoting, but it's something like that. Someone's going to know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, you got to diversify. You definitely want to have different sources of income because sometimes one business might not be doing the best, but you have the other business. So, yeah, there's that. And one big thing is that you got to solve problems. Like, you want to solve people's problems. Like, I cut hair and that's so lucrative because it's solving a problem. People need haircuts all the time. So, yeah. What problem do you think your choice solves?
I think, well, it solved the big problem for me, right? Which was, I played soccer heavy. I told you, like, and I literally only stopped playing, like, seriously, like, beginning of this year.
Yeah, you couldn't tell his guys like stuff.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So when I started playing, it was a type of joint where I was like, okay, what am I going to do now? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm, you know, doing well in school, have a good job set up for me afterwards, but it's not something I'm OC passionate about. So having your choice, if I could, like, watch your choice, like, let's say I didn't host it, like, I could see your choice, it just opens, like, your eyes to, like, okay, there's different avenues to success. Like, I think starting a clothing brand would be tough. I'm not saying I'm called to do it, but, like, seeing that as an option, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, whether it be music, I had a lot of artists on here, or Rebecca, she does, she has the hair oil business, you know what I'm saying? So I think your choice solves the problem of, you know, letting people know that there's, like, lots of different avenues to success outside of, like, what school teaches you. And then it's like, okay, I want to choose this route. Now you know that that's an avenue. How do we get there? Okay, we just listen to Judah talk. Next thing you know, who knows? Butterman may have, like, their own clothing brand just based off watching this. So I'd say that's the problem. That's
so real.
Yeah, that's the problem that I think your choice solves. And actually, I'm trying to figure out how to expand it, though, because I feel like right now it's, like, very consistent in the sense where it's like, okay, got this guy. He's cool. He has a brand. How can I get there? You know what I'm saying? But what other problems could be solved through a podcast? I don't know if you have any ideas for that.
I mean, I'd say, like, a podcast, like, I feel like the podcast is great and it's going to go on. Like, the more you keep posting, the more you stay consistent, you try different themes, like, you know, them captions.
Mm-hmm.
You know Diary of a CEO?
Yeah, that's the Gymshark joint I was telling you about.
Oh, that was on that.
Yeah. I feel like this is kind of like that. A little bit tight.
Literally. Yeah. I feel like their theme type is great. And, like, the way they do the intro, the first 5 seconds, like, it's always so sweet. But, yeah, like, the thumbnails, mm-hmm. like, that's something real good.
Oh, so, like, you know, they got Judah's head here, and he's talking about, like,
the text, and then, like, a highlighted color of one word, like stuff like that.
No, funny, I actually saw someone who copied that exact joint flow for flow, and, like, within 6 months he's at almost 100k.
Literally, like, it's so like, it's easy to blow up.
What's your opinion on, like, copying?
All right, so I used to be, like, kind of like about that, like, mm-hmm. I used to be like, nah, these stealing swag, like, da da da, like, nah. But then I realized, like, nothing's really new under the sun. Like, everything is inspiration, and, you know, I've copied it, or not copied, but, you know, I've taken inspiration from a lot of brands, and when brands take inspiration from me, especially when they tell me, like, that's a great feeling to know, like, they think that my stuff is good enough to, you know, draw inspiration from. I've even had fakes made in China of my brand. Like, they make reps Mogul in my brand, so it's like, that's crazy, but
that's tough though.
Yeah,
because, like, it means, like, yo, you're literally stamped not just here, but, like, around the world type.
I seen a picture, like, on AliExpress of my brand with me, Cash Dami, and Revio and them, and they had their watermark all over it, selling that joint for like 22. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, disrespect me, 22. You just sold it for like 100, man.
Any particular brands that, like, you can, like, know off the top of your head that you've, like, taken inspiration from?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, one to start a brand, I say one that definitely inspired me was Saints. You know, they're in the DMV.
Yeah.
That definitely inspired me.
Anything about them specifically?
Yeah, like the way they have that dollar sign and it's their signature logo, like, that definitely inspired me, you know, with making the kanji and all that. Even though, you know, I just wanted to have a placeholder for things, like assets, elements that I could just put on a brand and bang. And this is Supreme. There's Louis Vuitton. So many brands. Kappa. Kappa's a big one. Superdry. A lot of, like my friends and peers, like, their brands, like, just seeing them have brands and stuff like that. Like, that was, you know, some of the stuff that influenced my environment of always seeing people having brands. So it's like, I've designed for a lot of these brands too. So it's like, I know if I made my own, and people would tell me this, that if I made my own, it would be tough. So, yeah.
Got you. And complete switch of topic, because I know you told me that you did want to talk about this as well. The importance of, like, writing things down. You know, you got your journal right here. Me personally, and I'm not even saying this like it's a good thing, I actually don't be writing things down a lot. The only time I be writing is in church when I'm taking notes. That's it. So, like, you know, tell me about, like, the importance of that and, like, how that's, like, benefited you and just, like, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not, like, super duper consistent in writing things down, but, like, I have certain journals where, like, I look back at it and I'm like, dang, like, I always look back at them and, like, I'll see, like, stuff like, stuff that I plan to do, and I'm like, oh, okay, let me do that. Do that right now. Mm-hmm. Get out the way. Like, I'll go back, and, like, I'll just write my thoughts, and I'll be like, I'll say something like, bruh, Mogul Forever is going to be the biggest multi-million dollar brand only if you stay consistent, disciplined, plan in advance, create your own reality, don't block your own destiny. Like, stuff like this is like, okay, it's reminding myself. Like, I'm talking to myself. Like, like, hey, bro, you got to lock in. Like, I look in the mirror a lot, and, like, I talk to myself like, hey, bro, like, we got to lock in, bro. Like, don't hold me back. Like, we got to do this. We got to be disciplined. We got to, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's just important because if you don't, like, you're going to have great ideas, but you're going to forget them because you're human. If you write them down, you're going to remember to do that. Like, let's say you have a video idea for, like, a Your Choice video to do.
Yeah.
And it's just an idea. The next time you talk to somebody, you're going to be like, yeah, and I thought about making it, but then you're like, oh, you're going to remember it. Let's say you get home, but you might forget. But, you know, you're probably, you're pretty consistent. The more you do, the more you'll get out. But it just helps, you know. You know, just have an arsenal, especially to write goals, like make a to-do list. Like when you have a lot of stuff to do and it's all like in your head and you're trying to think about all of it at once, you can allow it to stress you. And it's something about your frontal lobe. Like you can't take too much of that stress. And that's how, you know, you'll end up, some people, they'll end up not getting nothing done at all just because of the stress. They just want to, I don't know, go take a nap or something, like just because it's too overwhelming. And, but when you really just like, okay, make a to-do list, this is what I have to do. I have to do this, 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 and this, and that. Take one thing at a time, focus on it, you'll be all right. Take the next thing, be all right, take the next thing. And then you'll start to feel like amazing. Like, yo, I'm really like, I'm doing good right now. Like you feel, and it's that flow state that you want to get into and, you know, locking in, making time blocks, like, do this at this time, do this at this time, do this at this time. I need to be more consistent doing it every day. Like, that's one thing I want to do. But the days I do do it, I have Superman days. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll get so much done. Like, I be having hella edits to do because people always hit me up for edits all the time. And, yeah, like, I make sure to write the things down. Sometimes I'd write too many things down and then I don't end up getting them. But I just write a small, doable amount and then get everything done, feel great.
Is it as simple as like, okay, making a to-do list? Or are you a type of person where it's like you like having like long-term schedules in terms of like, I know people are like big on using like certain apps, like say I got this, this day, this, that day. But like me personally, I actually think that's probably more beneficial, but I'm just like, okay, what do I have to do today?
Yeah, because that's all you can do. Like all you can do is what you, all you can do is what's in front of you. Like you can't control the future. Like, yeah, like I plan like stuff in my calendar, like when I have events like this, you know, but when it comes to like long term, like I'll have like tasks that I just need to do. Like right now, let's say I need to take stock of my inventory and, you know, place new orders. You know, there's always, you know, things that you have to do. So I have to, what, I plan to drop in a sweatsuit. I plan to, you know, lock in with my new mentee. You know, it's just, it's not, it's not really so much to get nitty gritty into the day and hour with me, but it's just like, okay, these are the things I have to do. So every day when I think, okay, what do I have to do? I'll see like, okay, I got to do this and that.
Got you. And yeah, last thing we'll touch on is you just talked about, you know, having like a mentee that you have to, you know, talk to, build that into your schedule. Mentorship just in general. I know you launched that only like fairly recently. So like, what was the motivation for that? And, you know, kind of like sell like why you would be someone worthy of, you know, signing up for that.
Okay. So, I mean, I've always wanted a mentor, right? But I was never really able to get that. But, you know, just because like I didn't know exactly who to trust and like the people I wanted to, like they were too big. So I knew I wouldn't really get the most value. But I really, like, my mentor is really YouTube, like YouTube University.
YouTube raised me, bro.
Yeah, no cap, bro. So it's like, okay, if I can do something where I know, like, not only do I know how to run a brand, I know how to design banger products. So if I can be a mentor and not only help you run your brand with the logistics, but also help you design products that I know can go viral, then, you know, that's a cheat code. So, yeah, that's what I offer, which I don't think anyone else offers that I know of. So that's why I'd definitely be a good choice for a mentor. And I have two at the moment. I have three spots left. And yeah.
Last question is, would you say legacy is something that's important to you?
Yeah, 100%. That's like utmost. Like when I'm slacking, that's what get me locked in. Like, okay, think about your son. Do you want him? How do you want him to see you? Like your family. Like, mm-hmm. there's families that, you know, they could have a lazy father, like an absent father. Like, you don't want to be that. You want to be the father that has all the money. You want to be the father that gives your daughter $200 to go shopping. You know, like it's. Mm. I want to be. I'm Judah Fashley the first. I want to have Judah Fashley the second, third, and the fourth, fifth, sixth, by God's grace. You know, like Cash Dami, a man. He's actually a third. I'm like, the first. He must have been him. You know what I'm saying? Like for the fact that he's still going and yeah. So I even talked to him. I was like, yo, like, are you gonna name your son the fourth? And he was like, yeah, bro. Like that's my legacy. I'm like, that's what's up. Like. That's tough. But yeah, and I know that I really want to, you know, do the best and really let my name hold weight and, you know, make my mark on this earth because I know I'm not going to be here forever, which is something like you really just have to face. Like, I mean, people don't like when I talk about it, but like you really have to face the fact that we're going to get old. We're going to die. That's all you got. Stay close to God. Accept Jesus. But yeah, I know like I'm not going to be on this earth forever. So I want to make an impact. Like, These clothes are still going to be here when I'm gone. So, you know, that's how I want to make my impact.
Yes, sir. Well, appreciate you pulling up, you know what I'm saying? Appreciate the hoodie as well. And, sure, you know, as always, you know, drop the socials and let's clap it up from there.
Sir, thank you for having me. Your choice.
Socials.
Oh. I was just thinking deep. But yeah. My Instagram, my personal Instagram is at Jukozai, J-U-K-O-Z-A-I. And my brand is Mogul Forever, M-O-G-U-L dot forever. I'm probably going to be changing my main, so yeah, just follow the brand.
Yes, sir. And then obviously your choice pod on all platforms. Yeah, cut it right there.
Yes, sir.